The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Maybe see it. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This story in the gospel lesson today is a story unlike any others that we see about Jesus. I don't know of any other story where Jesus seems to be so full of emotion or outrage, anger within here. It seems like Jesus is out of character. He had gone up to the temple, and in the courtyard he saw all the animals that were being sold and bought for sacrifice, and he saw the people making, changing money, and it just seems like he lost it. And he went in there, rushed in there, made a whip out of some of the decorative cords and herded all the animals out, chased them out. You can just imagine all the chaos that was going on. People just shocked and amazed. How can somebody do this? Why is he doing this? What's going on? And I guess that's a question we need to ask as well then too. What's going on here? This seems out of character for Jesus. Usually in the stories of Jesus, we see that side of Jesus that he shows his compassion. Or even when he's confronted with the scribes and the Pharisees and the others who are trying to entrap him, he has a cool head. And this just seems so much out of character. What triggered Jesus? What made him so angry? What made him so outraged? That was going on here in the marketplace. It's interesting to note, we are reading out of John's gospel this morning, and John puts this story at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. At this point, Jesus had not had a confrontation with anybody. People were still talking about the amazing changing the water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana. Word was starting to buzz about this traveling preacher who is going around and helping people and having compassion for other people. So the scribes, the Pharisees, religious leaders are still scratching their head on this. They have not started any kind of attacks on Jesus. So, you know, Jesus at this point is not necessarily angry at scribes and Pharisees. Matthew, Mark, and Luke put this story at the very end of their gospel. It's in what we know as Holy Week, after Jesus makes that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so they put it in different places, this story in different places in these different gospels, but then at that point you can kind of understand that Jesus has had a lot of confrontations with scribes and Pharisees and chief priests and all those, that maybe, you know, that frustration is just starting to build, but here in John's gospel it is not. And yet we see this outrage that Jesus has here. So what's going on? When Jesus does this, somebody questions it. You know, somebody is either asking, "What in the world are you doing?" out of anger themselves, or they're asking, maybe they're still talking about or thinking about Jesus turning water into wine, and they're saying, "What sign can you show for doing this?" maybe some sort of compassion. And he says, tear this temple down, and with 3 days I will rebuild it. Jesus points to his ministry. Jesus points to what is the most important part of Jesus' life: the dying on the cross and the being raised again on the third day. I think what makes Jesus so angry here, what has him so outraged, is that people have lost the focus of who they are and what they are supposed to be doing. The Hebrew people, or the Jewish people, in their worship had many laws, and they were law-oriented. They had to follow the law, and along with those laws came the rituals. And part of those rituals were the sacrifice, and it's spelled out in the Old Testament of how you are supposed to sacrifice, when you're supposed to sacrifice, and what you can do and how you do it all the way through. And so you had to follow these laws, these rules, these rituals to go through here. Well, this was the time of Passover. And so Jerusalem, during the time of Passover, would probably swell 2 to 3 times their normal population. So you had pilgrims coming in from everywhere into Jerusalem during this time. It was crowded, it was noisy, it was bustling, people everywhere. But they did come to celebrate that Passover feast. And part of that then is travelers coming wanted to come to Jerusalem. I think it was the goal of just about every Hebrew person to make it at least one time in your life to Jerusalem during Passover. And so they did travel for many miles. Some were local, and some traveled for many, many miles. And part of that of coming to Jerusalem then is to sacrifice, to bring a sacrifice in the temple, in the main place of worship for this religion, to bring a sacrifice. Well, if you're traveling 200-300 miles away on foot, or maybe even further than that, you think about the whole Middle East and probably North Africa as well then too. Jews were scattered around. To try to herd animals all the way to Jerusalem would have been very hard. And the animals used for sacrifice were supposed to be perfect animals, animals without spot or blemish. And so weren't these people here in this temple square just providing a service? These temple workers were just providing a service for all these pilgrims coming in so that they could make their sacrifices according to the law. That way they didn't have to haul in all these animals. They didn't have to herd them for hundreds of miles. They could just simply pick up an animal here in the temple courtyard and offer it then for a sacrifice. So the animals were being sold. They were being bought. I think sometimes they would even turn the animals around that you could buy an animal for sacrifice, but the animal wasn't sacrificed right then. It was turned around and sold once more, or maybe several times, rotated, which made sense because then otherwise you would have constant fires. You would have constant animals being sacrificed at one time, but at this way, it was conservative, basically, to say, economical. And so, you know, and it became a business. It became a business. Also, too, then, the money changers, you were also required to pay a temple tax, but you could not use the Roman coins, which were the normal currency at that time. You couldn't use the Roman coins because they had a picture of Caesar on them. And so that would be a graven image. You had to have temple coins, which would be appropriate, that could be allowed into the temple for your offering. So the money was being exchanged at the money changer tables. Now people look at these stories and they think, you know, we shouldn't be talking about money in church. Or some people have think about the fundraisers or the different things that go on in church to help raise funds for like youth or maybe for projects outside of the church. And they say, we're not supposed to be doing this at church. And they cite these stories. But to make this story for those kind of arguments is missing the point. It's just simply missing the point. The main thing, I think, that got Jesus upset, it wasn't helping other people or helping pilgrims, But what made them upset was that they were so focused on the rituals and upon the laws that they completely lost sight of God. Jesus' whole mission in life was to help proclaim the kingdom of God, to bring people's focus back to God, of who he was, a forgiving God, a gracious God, a loving God, a God full of mercy, a God who loves his people, to get people to turn from their ways and focus back on God. And here in the center of their worship, they're not focusing on God, they're focusing upon their rituals. They're focusing upon their sacrifices. They're focusing upon the law. And they're forgetting about God and who God was. I'm sure Jesus got a lot of attention by doing this. People were absolutely shocked. They were amazed that somebody would have the audacity to upset the money changers' tables, chase the animals out, make such a commotion, chaos. Particularly in this time of Passover, when there are so many people here and where the Roman soldiers are on heightened alert for any kind of trouble, Jesus certainly knows how to make a commotion. But he makes a commotion to point us back to God. Now, I know within our own church and with many churches, just about every church has some sort of rituals that we go through. I mean, this morning we had baptism. We'll have Holy Communion a little bit later. We have our liturgy within the bulletin. But all of this does something. This is all, we do this in order to help us focus upon God. There are several things why we have rituals within the church. One is it's comforting for us. We know what to expect in worship. Yes, worship changes from week to week to a certain extent. You have different readings, different hymns. Maybe the service order is a little bit different, but we are familiar with this. This is a familiar place. These are familiar words that we do say, or that we read through, or that we sing. And that brings us comfort. In this chaotic world, where the world's going crazy, we have one place where we can gather on a Sunday morning or a Saturday evening and give worship to God and know that God is looking down upon us. We can feel that peace from God as we come into worship. Another thing that these rituals do for us is it helps us to focus upon Scripture, because all of these things that we do here on Sunday morning are based upon Scripture. Many of these you know, parts of the liturgy are Scripture passages. The hymns are scripturally based. The prayers that we say focus upon those things that God calls us to do. It is all scripturally based. So it reminds us, we hear God's word in everything that we do here on Sunday mornings. Another thing of what our rituals do within our church is to keep us from committing the same heresies that have been done over and over and over again. These are issues that have been settled centuries ago. And so as we hold on to this pattern, we are reminded that, you know, when we hear heresies, when we hear things that aren't true, are wrong beliefs about God, that we know what God intends for us as we go through these rituals, particularly as we say the creed. This is what we believe. This is what the church teaches. This creed is based out of our baptismal learning. And so it helps keep us true in our faith. But the rituals are just that. They are just rituals. We don't worship the rituals. That's not our main focus as we come to worship. Our focus is God. But these rituals that we go through help us to believe in God, help us to understand God, and help us to focus our thoughts upon who Jesus Christ is, and God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. During the season of Lent, and again, the seasons of the church year are another part of those rituals, but the season of Lent helps us to focus upon that cross and that resurrection of Jesus Christ, helps us to focus upon what Christ has done. His mission as he came to this earth was to proclaim the kingdom of God and to bring salvation to us. And that's what we focus upon during Lent, of that Christ bringing his salvation to us, taking our sins upon himself, dying upon the cross, rising again, giving us the promise of new life. Christ does drastic things. We don't always know what God's going to do. We don't know what God's going to do in our lives. We don't know what God's going to do surrounding this world. We just simply have faith, knowing that God is a loving, gracious God, full of mercy, compassion, and that Christ has come to save us. And so as Christ goes to the cross, he also calls to us as well, take up your cross and follow me. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.